glad to have Dr. Rick Ludig back with us from the UNC Institute of Marine Science. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, Ben. I'm fine. How are you?
And I know we've had you on talking about, especially kind of post-Katrina, the monitoring of the everything, the levees in New Orleans and all of that. Now you're looking at the storm surge that's happened with Irma. We're watching Jose now, too. You had Harvey. You've been busy.
It has been a busy few weeks, that's mm-hmm. for sure. My younger daughter said this is the 3 weeks out of the year each year that I work.
The peak of storm season.
That's right. So the computer models that we've developed over the years to predict how the ocean responds to these storms have seen wide use and most recently in trying to forecast and anticipate what may happen in these latest very strong events.
Now, let's start with Harvey, because that would obviously was a very strong flooding event, similar to Matthew the year before for us, obviously much grander scale with Houston involved there, too. But were there some similarities there in the kind of how this flooding happened?
Harvey was a very unique storm because of the amount of rain that dropped. It is, Matthew had a lot of rain. For us, Floyd was really the rainmaker hurricane. Mm-hmm. I would put it in that category, but Harvey was
40 inches of rain.
Yeah. Exactly. And so Harvey was really unique from that perspective. It had its sort of traditional storm surge as the storm came ashore, but then it lingered close to the shore, looped around, and just rained and rained and rained. And so that is really the number one story from Harvey, I think, is the rainfall and then the flooding that occurred as a result of that rainfall.
Well, now, how about the bayou system in Houston itself, kind of related to where you were with levees in New Orleans? I've been to Houston, it was back in the 70s, but I didn't know that was the case. I didn't know they had these bayou systems that kind of were flood control systems in Houston.
Well, yeah, I mean that is an area, and coupled with bayous, the reservoirs that are designed for flood control, so they're designed to capture a certain amount of rain and keep this from happening. But what happens is when you have an event this extreme, it overwhelms the system,
right?
And then in order to keep the reservoirs and stuff from failing catastrophically, the dams failing. Then the Army Corps has to start letting water out at a time when you'd rather not have it come out.
Right.
And that is during
the
event. And so, in fact, and I guess they call it controlled discharge, but it's really discharge as a last resort. But in Harvey's case, it ended up being the cause of a lot of the flooding. But it was there wasn't any other choice because they couldn't let the reservoirs fill to the top, over top, and then jeopardize the fact that a dam might fail and it all come
the
out.
The integrity
one
would
massive,
completely be
exactly.
gone.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So as much as the flood control system, including the bayous and the reservoir, works on most of the time, when it's simply overwhelmed by capacity, overwhelmed by rainfall, then it becomes very problematic.
Yeah, and people don't get often the geography of Houston. It's a very, very large in terms of square miles city. So there's a lot, you talk about microclimates. There's a number of climates that can take place across Houston, right?
Yeah, it's a very decentralized city. In fact, when I visited it many years ago, I actually interviewed for a job down there when I was finishing up my undergraduate work. It's almost hard to find downtown Houston.
Yes, that's right. That's
it is a huge city. And
In fact, I had learned only when I was traveling there that there's like 12 or 13 incorporated cities within Houston. That they suck up all the land around a town, so instead of incorporating it itself. So that's what makes it just a huge area.
Yeah. So, anyways, quite a challenge that they face recovering from this.
Now, again, when we've talked before, the storm surge models are underway. How do you think they are performing? How do they do with Irma? What do you think?
Well, so we ran our storm surge models over and over and over again. Every time there was a new advisory, we did multiple model runs to look at the predictions as well as possible alternatives to the predictions. As in general, they tracked what we saw in the gauges, the NOAA gauges and things, very closely. our storm surge models won't predict the ocean any better than what the Hurricane Center predicts the hurricane itself to be.
Right, right, so because that's the data in.
Exactly, that's the data in. So if the, you know, if the storm is predicted to go to the East Coast and it goes to the West Coast, well, then our storm surge models won't do so well. So so typically we did quite well in the 1 day to 2 day out time frame. As you get further out, which is true with all weather forecasting, really, there's more uncertainty and the accuracy goes down. And indeed, the storm, while it didn't move over vast air, you know, swaths, it moved enough that you know, over time, things did evolve.
I know it's very early on, but do you think you've learned some new things about either data you need to have sooner or something like that?
Oh, we're always learning with this. I think, me personally, what was a bit of a surprise was simply how much it impacted Northeast Florida and Georgia and even up to Charleston, so the Atlantic coast. You know, I know that we expected that. The head of the Weather Service was out talking about it during the whole storm, even though it was going to the West Coast, the East Coast will still get flooding. We saw that. But still, that was, to me, a little bit less expected, to the extent that, I mean, they got flooding in the Savannah area, Jacksonville area, even Charleston, that was greater than Matthew. So, you know, I think, and that was just the size of the storm and just the overall significance of the storm.
Well, and the direction, I would imagine, has some influence on it because it's coming around the other side of the storm. And the
Both storms, for the most part, were driving water from east to west onto shore on the east coast. But exactly. I mean, so these are things that I think we'll go back and try to look at very carefully, and make sure that we understand them and make sure that we're capturing them well in our models. Each one of these events is a chance to improve.
When we look at, for example, river cresting, and we have models that predict river cresting, obviously you have a confined space there of where the water is going to flow initially. But is what you're trying to do with storm surge models roughly the equivalent of that?
At the most basic level, yes. I mean, we're applying equations of physics to these natural flows of water.
And land masses.
And land masses. Yeah. And so it's a matter of how you constrain them, how you get them to, you know, to reproduce what nature is doing. River flows, you know, for example, the wind blowing on them tends not to be such an issue. It's a matter of the slope of the land. And the water, keeping track of the water as it falls down and runs down that slope of the land. In storm surge, it's a bit more about the wind, although the slope of the land eventually comes into play because it ends up stopping
interact
the water.
With it, yes.
Yeah, it ends up stopping and channelizing.
And imagine even with the river one, once it flattens out like it does around here, the wind becomes a part of it, blowing up into the space.
Well, and that's the thing is that you have these transition zones where you go from a river problem to a coastal problem, and then it becomes a combined problem, and those become quite complex, and in fact, you know, as we think about trying to identify 100-year flood zones and those sorts of things, figuring out how to integrate those two together effectively and appropriately it remains a challenge.
Okay, we're watching Jose now too, and that could you know, we think of Dennis. We think of Dennis having gone and flipped around and come once or twice around, and we think of storms that have followed other storms as well. Is there a concern about when you have a saturated ground already and another storm coming up that may not be as powerful?
So from the effects of rainfall, that's absolutely the case. Rain and saturation of the ground can have a big impact on how fast rainfall from the next storm runs off. So if the ground is not there to soak it up for the first 12 hours or whatnot, then you get it coming off immediately. You get more of a tendency for flash floods. And that is particularly problematic in terms of the rainfall. The storm surge, usually there's so much water associated with storm surge so fast, there's not much time for
it's not going to soak in.
To soak in, yeah, exactly.
That's right. Dr. Rick Ludig joining us from the UNC Institute of Marine Science, talking about impacts of hurricanes and Harvey in particular in this last instance, and also Irma, and now we're watching Jose. So, Rick, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
This is Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240, and we'll have more to come in just a moment.